we'll let him go through his presentation. Steadfast, unmovable, abounding. Brother Bill.
Thank you, brethren. And, you know, one of the things that helps us to be just that, steadfast, unmovable, and abounding, is the fact that, you know, we have this great support group here, and we have another one at home, and those brethren at home at Central Ohio send you their greetings and their love. We have many of them that actually, some of them, others were planning on being here, but decided that it was not going to come to pass this time around, but they all remember you in prayer and love you very much. And ahead of time, we'd like to thank the brethren that have been volunteered to participate in tonight's Vesper service, because many of you have got little reading assignments, and it saves me a lot, and I think the brethren will like your voices in the readings of these and give us some nice interpretations, so we appreciate that. Steadfast, unmovable, abounding. The scripture that we're going to base this on is in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's chosen people in any age have had the assurance that He will give us the victory if we but exercise faith, trusting Him in those times when we cannot trace Him. No, God reminded King Jehoshaphat of this fact of faith when, in answer to the king's prayer, he was provided these strengthening words. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed for by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And that's from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. Just as God has promised that the battle was fought by Jehovah and the victory His, we'd like to sing Hymn 266, Soldiers of Christ, which you'll see your words on the screen. And if somebody could turn that light off right there, just the one that's above that one right there, that'll make it easier to see.
Through His eternal Son.
1 John 5:4 also reminds us that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. According to thy faith, be it unto thee, would seem to be the Lord's method of dealing with all who are his disciples, from the first to the last of their Christian walk and experience. Faith, when he seems not to notice us. Faith, when things seem to be going prosperously with us in our spiritual affairs, in our temporal affairs. And faith, equally strong, when the currents and forces seem all to be against us. The victory that overcometh the world is the faith that in all conditions is able to look up to the Lord with absolute confidence in his goodness and faithfulness, and to realize that according to his promise, eventually all things will work together for good to us because we are his people. That's from reprint 26:27. Let's, with that in mind, sing Victorious Faith, hymn number 197. How easy it is to say, all we need is faith. But how do we develop such a faith that will gain a victory over the world, our flesh, and our adversary who are constantly assailing us? How can we become steadfast and unmovable like the faithful witnesses of the past? Reminds us of Queen Esther, who trusted that God would deliver her people, but added this important component of courage. She said, "If I perish, I perish." That's from Esther 4:16. Another example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gained an amazing victory through their faith. our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:17-18. Daniel exercised great faith in the power of God to shut the mouth of lions. As our pastor observed in reprint 31:23, quote, Daniel could sleep better in the den of lions than Darius in the royal palace. He who could not find rest in a lion's den, when that was the place for him, could not gain rest by a mere removal to a palace. It is the man's self which must be changed, not his circumstances or his possessions, in order to his having a heart overflowing with joy and praise. Brother Edgar Buckley always used to say, if you can't change your situation, which obviously Daniel couldn't, change your attitude about it. As the faithful of the ancient past, so too the captain of our salvation exercised faith in the mighty power of God. So much so that he was willing to lay down his perfect, sinless life as a sacrifice without hesitation. How did he do this? He kept the vision of a completed kingdom always before his mind. And so we are advised to, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. If we keep that vision of the completed kingdom before our eyes, we too can develop such faith as will conquer every foe. Keeping that in mind, let's sing Zion's Glorious Hope.
Thank you.
this is kind of an aside, but you all should be standing up here and listening to your voices. They really are remarkable. it's quite a rendition with, I hear lots of parts going on, and it's really kind of a thrill just to stand up here and take in the brethren. It's, I have to say, it's not always this good when you're in here. I mean, it was with some, you know, gatherings, and this is really remarkable, and I'm really enjoying it, so I have to let you know. Well, let me tell you a little story. One time, while observing a waitress carrying a large tray with several bowls of soup, and maybe some of you have been in this kind of a situation and seen this, we asked how she was able to keep these from spilling as she wove her way quickly through the maze of staggered tables. And she answered, "You don't look down at the soup expecting it to spill. You just keep looking forward to where you're going. And somehow the hand compensates a level balance." Now, I've tried this, and I still spill. So it doesn't work for all people. But the principle is there and should follow suit with that admonition for our new creatures, that we should keep looking forward. Not down expecting to fail, but forward toward the glorious hope before us. Not behind at our failings, but at what these have taught us in walking more circumspectly. Not at the troubles surrounding us, as the Lord has carefully measured their value to us. And not at our weaknesses, as His strength is made manifest to others when we overcome these. Then we shall reach our goal with success. One of our brethren is going to read from us from reprint 1840, and I'm not sure who I signed what to, so they'll have to grab a microphone and read that. Brother Perry.
Reprint 1840. "Let us endeavor to make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and then lay hold on of the Lord's strength to help us pursue our course in the narrow way of difficulty and trial. The fact that we are weak and lame does not separate us from the love and power of God. He knows that we have the treasure of the new nature in earthen vessels, and therefore it is that, while we strive to overcome, we have this proffered sympathy and aid and the imputed righteousness of Christ for our all-sufficient covering. It is when continued trust and responsive providences have ripened into personal acquaintance and fellowship with God, when heart answers to heart, when pleading prayer brings recognized answers of peace, when the divine care and love are specially seen in the guidance of our way, then it is that we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord. Then, however dark may be the way, or however heavy may be the storm that rages about us, the balm of divine consolation is always there, so that the child of God, though often troubled on every side, is not distressed. Though perplexed, he is never in despair. Though cast down, he is not destroyed. And though persecuted, he is never forsaken."
I love those words, especially the part where he's talking about it is when continued trust and responsive providences have ripened into personal acquaintance and fellowship with God. You know, this stresses the importance of testimony meetings, I think. Because study is one thing, but application to our lives and getting to this point where we can see those providences and we build one on the next and finally it develops into this personal acquaintance with God. Brethren, sometimes, and people out in the churches, many times, stress this, what I've always had a problem with, this phrase, personal relationship with Jesus. That's been a hard one for me to really figure out what they're trying to say, because I think on the level that they're saying it many times is very, very shallow, and it's not the providences that are being spoken of here, where even though the storms rage about us, as he's saying here, do we still see that divine consolation? And so I think this really is the more personal relationship, but it's stating here, you know, to look to the author, to Jehovah God, as being the one where we're trying to establish as new creatures that relationship. What consolation, or what a consolation it is to know that there is not one thing that could happen to us without the Father's permission, without His protection and grace to help in every time of need. Are we not assured as well that if we are rightly exercised by our experiences, they will bring about the peaceable fruitage of righteousness? And this will surely bring a blessing, not only to ourselves, but to others. Along this line, we especially like an anti-Fry a poem that he adapted into a discourse that he gave, and it was called Wounded Flowers, and we'll have that read now.
Wounded Flowers. Many years ago, dear old brother Hirsch told the story of a large garden of beautiful flowers. A very heavy hailstorm broke over a large area in Philadelphia. It inflicted much damage upon the gardens, and particularly upon this beautiful bed of flowers. Relentlessly, the hailstones cut the little flowers into ribbons until the garden was a very sorry sight to behold. However, after the storm, when peace and tranquility again prevailed, the air was redolent with such a fragrance from these wounded and bruised flowers as it has never seen before. So with us, our trials and experiences, though very severe, should make us yet more kind and benevolent, blessing all those around us, perfected through suffering.
Perfected through suffering. Now, sometimes it takes, not only with flowers, but plants, spices, for the aroma to come out, have to be crushed and bruised or wounded. Let's sing together Our Consolation, hymn number 228.
If when we seek that room,
You can try it. Just to repeat my favorite little line out of that, I just have to read it again because it just, you know, so beautiful. But thou wilt heal the broken heart, which like the plant that throws their fragrance from the wounded part, breathes sweetness out of woe. You know, this, it's beyond me because I'm just not poetic in the least, how people can even write something like that so beautiful. It's an amazing gift that the Lord has given for people to be able to speak words like that. I get emotional when I read it and hear it, but I certainly could never write it. So I'm thankful for those that can. 2 Chronicles 6, 9. We won't sing this. Comfort us with these words. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to Him. And that's out of the NIV version. Yes, because we have consecrated our lives completely to God, we are assured that He will strongly support us in our efforts to glorify Him, bringing us to our victory in due time. He and His Son have a vested interest in our success. If our prayer is to remain steadfast and unmovable, they will provide the means whereby we might abound towards this goal. We'd like to have read for us, If God Be For Us, and this is from Volume 6, pages 183 through 185. Oh, that's me. That's not, I didn't hand that out. I'm sorry. Okay, quoting here, Do we not see, brethren, that God has a great and wonderful plan which is carrying forward? Do we not see that, having determined on the selection of a certain class for cooperation in His plan, He is favoring us in that He has revealed to us the terms and conditions justifying and calling us with this heavenly calling? This means that God is for us, that He wishes us to be of this elect class, that He has made every arrangement necessary whereby we may attain a position in it. Do we sometimes feel that although the Lord is for us, Satan and sin and our own weaknesses through heredity are all against us, seeking to ensnare and stumble us? Let us reflect that the Almighty God being on our side, none of these oppositions need cause us fear or trepidation, for He is abundantly able to carry us through them all. Let us look back and note that if He would do all this for us as sinners, He would do much more for us now that we have become His children. We may be sure that He who changes not still loves us and is still for us and will use His power to cause all things to operate for our highest spiritual welfare and for our ultimate attainment of a place in the new creation if we abide in Him in faith, in love, and in heart obedience. Yes, God and Christ have a personal stake in our success as new creatures. They are for us and will abide with us as long as we continue to abide in their tender care. So we'd like to sing now, My Strong Tower. Thank you. faith is strong in the power of the Lord's strength, we cannot help but have the heart desire to show God and His precious Son our appreciation for their faithfulness. And we show them this by abounding in our works. There's a real joy that comes from a steadfast, unmovable faith that abounds in the work of the Lord. It is not a joy of our glory or reward, but the privilege of bringing glory to the Father and His Son. This is the work which is not done in vain, but will abound unto victory and will follow with us beyond the veil. We'd like to have read now from Volume 3, page 224, our pastor's comments.
Our pastor states that no man ever labored for our Master who will not receive abundantly more than he could ask or expect.
No, you got all three of those.
We also read in reprint 3176 that faith sees the accomplished victory of the future and even now exults and rejoices in the privilege of co-laboring with the Redeemer, spending time, energy, and life. 1 Samuel 12:24 reminds us too, serve the Lord in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He hath done for you.
That has to be one of our favorites, and I'm sure yours too. Serve the Lord in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He hath done for you. Serving the Lord in truth with all your heart provides such strength and courage to keep pressing on. It takes the focus off our troubles and helps us to fix our eyes forward. This has a sanctifying effect, not only upon ourselves, but also upon our ecclesias as we co-labor together. It breathes life into our ecclesias when we participate with one another in conventions, class studies, witnessing opportunities, testimonies. But this can only be accomplished if we become involved, not sitting by passively, each one of us actively provoking one another unto love and good works, from Hebrews 10:24. With this in mind, we'll have reprint 48:17 excerpt read for us.
It is indispensable.
With a microphone.
Yes. Here you go.
It is indispensable to those who have reached the mark of perfect love that they shall keep actively engaged in the service of the Lord, laying down their lives for the brethren. Such must stand not only as representatives of God and of the principles of righteousness, but as representatives of those strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, ready and willing and efficient in the encouragement of other runners in the race course, that they likewise may attain to the mark.
Yes. Once we have done all that we can, standing by the grace and strength of the Lord and with the encouragement of the brethren, we can rest confidently that God will slowly and progressively toward our maturity as new creatures make us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. We'd like to have now read Colossians 1, 10 through 13.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Keep that thought in mind as we now sing Triumphant Zion. And this is hymn number 310. And this will be our closing hymn before we close the service. Thank you, brother, for allowing us to have this time together with you. And I hope you all, and Estelle won't probably like me for doing this, but if you enjoyed the pictures, that goes all to Sister Estelle's credit. She took all the pictures.
The Lord created the things that I
should. And so we appreciate his handiwork and like to capture that.
Thank you, Brother Bill. We appreciated the pictures as well as the thoughts presented this evening. And very inspiring. And you had mentioned, you know, how very few of us have the ability to write words in such a way, in such poetry and prose, that it really, as you had mentioned, that one particular hymn and verse, how the plants and the flowers. No, not many can do that, but all can appreciate the word. So we'll leave that thought, and we appreciate your service very much. And before we close, we'll have Sister Joanne read the songs of the night, and we'll close with hymn 40, verse 5 through 7, and Brother Bill, if you would dismiss us.
Saturday, April 21st. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13. The disposition to forgive should be with us always and should be manifested by us at all times. Our loving generosity and kindness and desire to think no evil or as little as possible should be shown in all the words and acts of life. This course is Godlike. God had a kind, benevolent, generous sentiment toward us even while we were yet sinners. Nor did he wait for the sinners to ask forgiveness, but promptly manifested his desire for harmony and his readiness to forgive. The whole gospel message is to this effect: be reconciled to God. Our hearts should be so full of this disposition toward forgiveness that our faces would not have a hard look, nor our words of reproof a bitter sting. On the contrary, they should manifest the loving forgiveness that we should have in our hearts at all times. even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
In 40, verses 5 and 6. And 7.
5 through 7.
Heavenly Father, we again give praise and thanks, and we earnestly hope that we will continue to be faithful servants and ask your forgiveness and your overruling wherever we have done amiss. We want to be quick and ready to serve, and with no hesitation, and to be always thankful for your provisions in times of plenty or in times of need, that we know that you are working for our best spiritual welfare throughout everything. We give you thanks for our brethren, for the truth, and for the opportunities set before us, and for our Lord's sacrifice especially. And we do give thanks, remembering this in his name. Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Bill, and that does conclude our evening.